Section 1. Introduction. The Commercial Motor Vehicle Safety Act of 1986 requires all states to meet the same minimum standards for testing and licensing commercial drivers. This manual provides driver license testing information for drivers who wish to have a commercial driver license, CDL. This manual does not provide information on all the federal and state requirements needed before you can drive a commercial motor vehicle, CMV. Contact the Department of Licensing for additional information, www.dol.wa.gov. 1.1. You must have a CDL to operate. Any single vehicle with a gross vehicle weight rating, GVWR, of 26,001 pounds or more. A combination vehicle with a gross combination weight rating, GCWR, of 26,001 or more pounds, provided the GVWR of the vehicle being towed is in excess of 10,000 pounds. A vehicle designed to transport 16 or more passengers, including the driver. All school buses regardless of size. Any size vehicle which requires hazardous material placards or is carrying material listed as a select agent or toxin in 42 CFR Part 73. Federal regulations through the Department of Homeland Security require a background check and fingerprinting for the hazardous materials endorsement. To get a CDL, you must pass knowledge and skills tests. All applicants must wait 24 hours after passing a CDL skills test before visiting a licensing service office to have their CDL issued. This manual will help you pass the tests, however, it is not a substitute for a truck driver training class or program. Formal training is the most reliable way to learn the many special skills required for safely driving a large commercial vehicle and becoming a professional driver in the trucking industry. Figure 1.1 helps you determine if you need a CDL. 1.1.1. Exemptions. The law exempts four groups of drivers from the CDL. Farmers transporting farm equipment, supplies, or products to or from a farm in a farm vehicle are exempted if the vehicle is operated by a farmer or a farm employee. Not used in the operation of a common or contract motor carrier. Used within 150 miles of the farm, in an air mile radius. Products include Christmas trees or wood products transported by vehicles weighing no more than 40,000 pounds licensed gross vehicle weight. The weight restriction applies only to Christmas trees and wood products. Farmers may operate vehicles that meet the definition of a farm-exempt vehicle between the states of Idaho and Oregon if they meet all requirements of the farm exemption. Firefighters and law enforcement personnel operating emergency equipment are exempted if they carry the certification card proving they have completed the Emergency Vehicle Accident Prevention, EVAP, or Emergency Vehicle Incident Prevention, EVIP, programs. Recreational vehicle, RV, operators are exempted when driving an RV for non-commercial purposes. This group includes two-axle rental trucks, horse trailers. Military commercial drivers are exempted only when they are operating the proper military vehicles under a military license issued by their branch of service. 1.1.2. Application. To get a Washington Commercial Driver License, CDL, or a Commercial Learner's Permit, CLP, you must 1. Be at least 18 years old. 2. Have a valid Washington State driver license. 3. Provide your valid Social Security number issued by the Social Security Administration. 4. Provide lawful permanent residency. 5. Provide the names of all the states where you have had a driver license in the last 10 years. 6. Self-certify what type of commercial commerce you expect to operate. 7. Pass all applicable knowledge tests for the vehicle class and type you intend to operate. 8. Pay the proper fees. The CLP is valid for 180 days and may only be renewed one time. Visit dol.wa.gov for more information on CDL knowledge, skills testing, and license issuance fees. To get a CDL, you must also successfully complete all required knowledge tests, including applicable skills tests. If you are getting your first CDL, or you have not been commercially licensed for the last year, you must provide proof of completing a commercial driver training program per the mandatory training requirements from a Washington State-approved training school or registered employer. 1.1.3. Lawful permanent residency. Federal regulations requires all CLP holders, CDL holders and applicants in the process of obtaining a commercial license to show proof of lawful permanent residence within the United States. The following provides who is required to provide proof of permanent residence. 1. All current CDL holders requiring renewal, permit, or upgrades. 2. All new applicants. 3. All applicants transferring from another state. Visit our website at www.dal.wa.gov for details and acceptable documents. 1.1.4. Non-domicile CDL. Applicants who are domiciled in a foreign country or in a state that prohibits issuance of CDL, CLP, may be eligible for a non-domicile document. Visit our website at dal.wa.gov for details and acceptable documents. 1.2 Commercial Learner's Permit Requirements. 1.2.1 Commercial Learner's Permit. Applicants must hold a Commercial Learner's Permit, CLP, for a minimum of 14 days prior to taking a skills test for the type of vehicle and endorsements they intend to operate. This requires drivers to successfully complete all applicable CDL knowledge tests. The CLP is valid for 180 days and can only be renewed once. Banked, past segments, skills test scores will not be valid upon renewing a CLP. You may add an endorsement, upgrade, to an existing CLP by taking the applicable CDL knowledge test and obtaining a new upgraded CLP. When upgrading a CLP, you must wait for a minimum of 14 days prior to taking a skills test. You may not upgrade if your CLP has expired. You may not upgrade a CLP that has been renewed. Beginning January 1, 2017, the CLP will no longer be an endorsement on your base license. The CLP will be issued as a separate document and will contain the class, endorsements and restrictions the driver is entitled to operate. 1.2.2. A CLP is required for drivers testing for an original CDL. A CDL holder upgrading their commercial license for a higher commercial class. Adding any endorsements that require skills testing. Passenger endorsement. School bus endorsement. Tank vehicle endorsement, if vehicle brought for skills testing as a tank vehicle. Removing an air brake restriction. Removing a no manual transmission restriction. Removing a no tractor trailer CMV restriction. Beginning January 2017, CLPs will contain the following endorsements and restrictions. CLP endorsement. P. Passenger endorsement. Required for drivers of passenger vehicles designed to carry 16 or more passengers, including the driver and school buses. S. School bus endorsement. Required for drivers who drive any size of school bus. A school bus is a vehicle regularly used to transport children to and from school or in conjunction with school activities, which meets the school bus specifications established by the Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction. N. Tank vehicle endorsement. Required for any commercial motor vehicle that is designed to transport any liquid or gaseous materials within a tank or tanks having an individual rated capacity of more than 119 gallons and an aggregate rated capacity of 1,000 gallons or more that is either permanently or temporarily attached to the vehicle or the chassis. CLP restrictions. P. No passengers in CMV bus. M. No class A passenger vehicle. N. No Class A and B passenger vehicle. L. No airbrake equipped CMV. V. Medical variants. X. No cargo in CMV tank vehicle. K. Intrastate only. CLP holders with a P, N, or S endorsement are prohibited from operating a CMV carrying passengers, other than federal, state auditors and inspectors, test examiners, other trainees, and the CDL holder accompanying the CLP holder. CLP holders with an N endorsement are prohibited from operating any tank vehicle that previously contained hazardous materials that has not been purged of any residue. When operating a commercial motor vehicle, CMV, on any public roadway, the CLP holder must be with another driver who has a CDL valid for the vehicle being driven. No less than 2 years driving experience in the class of CMV being operated. No less than 5 years of total driving experience. Must occupy the seat beside the CLP for the purpose of giving instruction. CDL issuances before January 2017. Endorsement. P1 Class B passenger vehicle. Required for drivers of vehicles 26,001 pounds. Or more designed to carry 16 or more passengers including the driver. P2 Class C passenger vehicle. Required for drivers of vehicles 26,000 pounds. Or less, designed to carry 16 or more passengers including the driver. S. School bus endorsement. Required for drivers who drive any size of school bus. A school bus is a vehicle regularly used to transport children to and from school or in conjunction with school activities, which meets the school bus specifications established by the Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction. T. Double and triple trailers endorsement. Required for drivers pulling sets of double or triple trailers. N. Tank vehicle endorsement required for any commercial motor vehicle that is designed to transport any liquid or gaseous materials within a tank or tanks having an individual rated capacity of more than 119 gallons and an aggregate rated capacity of 1,000 gallons or more that is either permanently or temporarily attached to the vehicle or the chassis. H. Hazardous materials endorsement required for drivers of any size vehicle that is used to transport any material that requires hazardous material placards or any quantity of a material listed as a select agent or toxin in 42 CFR 73. X. Combination of tank vehicle endorsement and hazardous materials endorsement. New CDL issuances beginning January 2017. Endorsement. P. Passenger endorsement. Required for drivers of passenger vehicles designed to carry 16 or more passengers including the driver and school buses. Note. New M and N restrictions have replaced P1 and P2 on the previous P endorsement. S. School bus endorsement. Required for drivers who drive any size of school bus. A school bus is a vehicle regularly used to transport children to and from school or in conjunction with school activities, which meets the school bus specifications established by the Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction. T. Double and triple trailers endorsement. Required for drivers pulling sets of double or triple trailers. N. Tank vehicle endorsement. Required for any commercial motor vehicle that is designed to transport any liquid or gaseous materials within a tank or tanks having an individual rated capacity of more than 119 gallons and an aggregate rated capacity of 1,000 gallons or more that is either permanently or temporarily attached to the vehicle or the chassis. H. Hazardous materials endorsement. Required for drivers of any size vehicle that is used to transport any material that requires hazardous material placards or any quantity of a material listed as a select agent or toxin in 42 CFR 73. X. Combination of tank vehicle endorsement and hazardous materials endorsement. CDL issuances before January 2017. Restriction. K. Air brakes restriction. Drivers of CDL vehicles with air brakes must pass the required tests for air brakes. Drivers who do not pass these tests are restricted on the CDL to non-air brake vehicles. UCDL intrastate only restriction. Drivers of CDL vehicles who are restricted to driving only within Washington, either because of medical self-certification or the driver is under the age of 21. VCDL medical variants, waiver. New CDL issuances beginning January 2017. Restriction. L. No airbrake equipped CMV. Skills test taken in a vehicle not equipped with airbrakes and/or airbrake knowledge test not taken. Z. No full airbrake equipped CMV. Skills test taken in a vehicle equipped with air over hydraulic brakes. E. No manual transmission equipped CMV. Skills test taken in a vehicle equipped with an automatic transmission. O. No tractor trailer CMV. Skills test taken in a combination vehicle for a Group A CDL with the power unit and towed unit connected with a pintle hook or other non-fifth wheel connection. M. No Class A passenger vehicle. Skills test taken in a Class B bus. N. No Class A and B passenger vehicle. Skills test taken in a Class C bus. K. Intrastate only. Applicant self-certified as non-accepted intrastate or is under 21 years old. V. Medical variance. Applicant has either a federal or state medical waiver. 1.2.3. Mandatory training requirements. Washington State requires anyone getting an original CDL to complete minimum training requirements per WAC 308-100-033 and 308-100-035. There are two ways to meet this requirement. Complete a certified course from an approved commercial driver training school. In-state and out-of-state training schools must be approved by the Department of Licensing, DOL, and must teach a curriculum that is equal to or greater than specified in WAC 308-100-033. Hours of training must meet the requirements as outlined under state law. Complete a course of commercial driver training by your employer. Employers must be approved by DOL and must teach a curriculum that is equal to or greater than specified in WAC 308-100-035. Visit www.dol.wa.gov for more information on training and licensing requirements. 1.3 Commercial Driver License Tests. 1.3.1 Knowledge Tests. You will have to take one or more knowledge tests, depending on what class of license and what endorsements you need. Knowledge test scores for CLP endorsements are valid for 180 days or through one CLP renewal cycle. Knowledge tests for hazardous materials and doubles, triples are valid for 180 days only. The CDL knowledge tests include the general knowledge test, taken by all applicants. The passenger transport test, taken by all bus driver applicants. The air brakes test, which you must take if your vehicle has air brakes, including air over hydraulic brakes. The combination vehicles test, which is required if you want to drive Class A combination vehicles. The hazardous materials test, required if you want to haul hazardous materials as defined in 49 CFR 383.5. In order to obtain this endorsement, you are also required to pass a Transportation Security Administration, TSA, background check. The tank vehicle test, required if you want to haul any liquid or gaseous materials in a tank or tanks having an individual rated capacity of more than 119 gallons and an aggregate rated capacity of 1,000 gallons or more that is either permanently or temporarily attached to the vehicle or chassis. The doubles, triples test, required if you want to pull double or triple trailers. The school bus test, required if you want to drive a school bus. 1.3.2. Skills tests. If you pass the required knowledge test, you can take the CDL skills tests. There are three types of general skills that will be tested: vehicle inspection, basic vehicle control, and on-road driving, which must be passed in this order. You must take these tests in the type of vehicle for which you wish to be licensed. Any vehicle that has components marked or labeled cannot be used for the vehicle inspection test. Interpreters are prohibited during the administration of the skills test. Skills test must be conducted in English only. A valid CLP is required for each skills test. Skills test must be taken in the proper representative vehicle for the class and endorsements you wish to obtain. All applicants must wait 24 hours after passing a CDL skills test to have their CDL issued. To schedule a CDL skills test, you will need to call the Department of Licensing CDL Skills Test Program, Scheduling. Based on examiner availability, DOL will determine whether your skills test will be conducted by a state or contracted third-party examiner, TPE. If testing with a DOL examiner, you will be required to pay for your skills test over the phone before your test can be scheduled. All skills tests must be scheduled at a minimum of 3 days in advance. Completed CDL skills test scores are valid for 180 days. You must have a CDL issued within 180 days from the first passed skills test segment, vehicle inspection. You may be randomly selected to complete a retest to ensure testing practices were correctly followed. If you refuse to retest or cannot pass the retest, your passing skills test results will be voided. If issued a CDL, you may be disqualified until you successfully pass. If you already hold a CDL and are selected for a retest and do not pass on the first try, you may be required to provide a vehicle and pay applicable fees for additional attempts. CDL skills test are required for each of the following: adding a CDL to your license, upgrading an existing CDL from a Class C to a Class A or B, upgrading a Class B to a Class A, adding a passenger endorsement, adding a school bus endorsement, removing an air brake restriction, removing a no tractor trailer restriction, removing a no manual transmission restriction. 1.3.3. Military Skills Test Waiver. Certain military commercial drivers, as specified in CFR 383.77, may be waived from having to take a knowledge and skills test when applying for a Class A or B CDL. These waivers apply to service members who are currently licensed and who are or were employed within the past year, 12 months, in a military position requiring the operation of a military motor vehicle equivalent to a commercial motor vehicle, CMV. For more detail instructions and information, visit www.dol.wa.gov. 1.3.4.A. Vehicle Inspection. You will be tested to see if you know whether your vehicle is safe to drive. You will be asked to do a vehicle inspection of your vehicle and explain to the examiner what you would inspect and why. 1.3.4.B. Basic Vehicle Control. You will be tested on your skill to control the vehicle. You will be asked to move your vehicle forward, backward, and turn it within a defined area. These areas may be marked with traffic lanes, cones, barriers, or something similar. The examiner will tell you how each control test is to be done. Note: trainers are not allowed on the course. Customers are only allowed on the course while accompanied by the examiner. 1.3.4.C, On-Road Test. You will be tested on your skill to safely drive your vehicle in a variety of traffic situations. The situations may include left and right turns, intersections, railroad crossings, curves, up and down grades, single or multi-lane roads, streets, or highways. The examiner will tell you where to drive. 1.4 Medical Documentation Requirements. Federal regulations require all CLP and CDL holders to self-certify the type of commerce they expect to operate. Drivers operating in certain types of commerce will be required to submit a current medical examiner's certificate and/or any medical variance documents that you have been issued, for example, vision, skills performance or diabetic waivers, or other exemptions, to DOL to obtain a certified medical status as part of your driving record. If you are required to have a certified medical status and fail to provide and keep up to date your medical examiner's certificate, you become not certified and may lose your CDL. A current medical certificate is required to operate a commercial motor vehicle. All medical certificates must be completed by a medical professional listed on the National Registry of Certified Medical Examiners. For the purpose of complying with the new requirements for medical certification, it is important to know how you are using the CMV. The following information will help you decide how to self-certify. 1.4.1. Interstate or Intrastate Commerce. Do you, or will you, use a CDL to operate a CMV in interstate or intrastate commerce? 1.4.1. A. Interstate commerce is when you drive a CMV from one state to another state or a foreign country, between two places within a state, but during part of the trip, the CMV crosses into another state or foreign country, or between two places within a state, but the cargo or passengers are part of a trip that began or will end in another state or foreign country. 1.4.1.B. Intrastate commerce is when you drive a CMV within a state and you do not meet any of the descriptions above for interstate commerce. If you operate in both intrastate commerce and interstate commerce, you must choose interstate commerce. 1.4.2. Intrastate commerce. Status. Non-accepted or accepted. Once you decide whether you will operate in interstate commerce or intrastate commerce, you must decide whether you will operate, or expect to operate, in a non-accepted or accepted status. This decision will tell you to which of the four types of commerce you must self-certify. 1.4.2.A. Interstate commerce. You operate in accepted interstate commerce when you drive a CMV in interstate commerce only for the following accepted activities. To transport school children and/or school staff between home and school. As federal, state or local government employees. To transport human corpses or sick or injured persons. Fire truck or rescue vehicle drivers during emergencies and other related activities. Primarily in the transportation of propane winter heating fuel when responding to an emergency condition requiring immediate response such as damage to a propane gas system after a storm or flooding. In response to a pipeline emergency condition requiring immediate response such as a pipeline leak or rupture. In custom harvesting on a farm or to transport farm machinery and supplies used in the custom harvesting operation to and from a farm or to transport custom harvested crops to storage or market. Beekeeper in the seasonal transportation of bees. Controlled and operated by a farmer, but is not a combination vehicle, power unit and towed unit, and is used to transport agricultural products, farm machinery or farm supplies, no hazardous materials placard. To and from a farm and within 150 air miles of the farm. As a private motor carrier of passengers for non-business purposes, or to transport migrant workers. If you answered yes to one or more of the above activities as the only operation in which you drive, you operate in accepted interstate commerce. If you answered no to all of the above activities, you operate in non-accepted interstate commerce and are required to provide a current medical examiner's certificate. 49 CFR 391.45, commonly referred to as a medical certificate or DOT card, to DOL. Most CDL holders who drive CMVs in interstate commerce are non-accepted interstate commerce drivers. If you operate in both accepted interstate commerce and non-accepted interstate commerce, you must choose non-accepted interstate commerce to be qualified to operate in both types of interstate commerce. 1.4.2.B. Intrastate commerce. Accepted intrastate commerce. Washington State does not allow an operator of a commercial motor vehicle, CMV, to be exempt from having a current medical certificate. You operate in non-accepted intrastate commerce when you drive a CMV only in intrastate commerce and are required to meet your Washington's medical certification requirements. 1.4.3. Self-certification statements. When completing an application for your CDL, you will be required to check the box next to the statement that describes your status. You may change your self-certification status at any time in person at any CDL licensing office or online at https://www.dol.wa.gov/driverslicense/CDL-medical-certificates. HTML. 1.4.3.A. Non-accepted interstate, I operate or expect to operate a commercial motor vehicle that transports cargo that originates outside Washington State or has a final destination outside Washington State, crosses state lines or delivers to Washington State ports. Note. Driver must be subject to and meet the 49 CFR. Part 391 qualification requirements and is required to obtain and submit to DOL a medical examiner's certificate under 49 CFR. Sec. 391.45. 1.4.3.B. Accepted interstate. I operate or expect to operate a commercial motor vehicle, emergency response or government vehicle that crosses state lines while transporting passengers to and from school, occasionally transporting personal property not for compensation, for emergency deliveries, or other operation accepted under 49 CFR Sec. 390.3, F. 391.2, 391.68, or 398.3, or from all or parts of the qualification requirements of 49 CFR, Part 391. Note. Driver must be subject to and meet the 49 CFR, Part 391 qualification requirements and is required to obtain and submit to DOL a medical examiner's certificate under RCW 46.25.075. 1.4.3.C. Non-accepted intrastate. I operate or expect to operate a commercial motor vehicle but never cross state lines, and the origin and final destination of my cargo are always within the state of Washington. Note. Driver must be subject to and meet the 49 CFR. Part 391 qualification requirements and is required to obtain and submit to DOL a medical examiner's certificate under RCW 46.25.075. 1.4.3.D. Accepted intrastate. I operate or expect to operate a commercial motor vehicle that engages exclusively in transportation or operations accepted from all or parts of the state driver qualification requirements. Not available to Washington drivers. However, state law allows you to certify as accepted intrastate only if you wish to maintain your CDL and do not operate. CDL holder is not subject to and meet the 49 CFR. Part 391 qualification requirements and is not required to obtain and submit to DOL a medical examiner's certificate under RCW 46.25.075. Once you have completed the self-certification process and your certification type requires you to keep a current medical examiner's certificate on file, you must submit a new medical examiner's certificate to DOL 7 to 10 days before your current certificate expires. This can be completed by visiting a driver licensing office, by mail, by email, uploading a copy, or by faxing a photocopy to the program area below. CDL Medical Unit. Department of Licensing. P.O. Box 9030. Olympia WA 98507-9030. Fax. 360-570-4915. Email. cdlmed@dahl.wa.gov. Find the upload link at https://www.dahl.wa.gov/driverslicense/cdlmedicalcertificates.html. Click on the online link in the first sentence to upload your medical certification. Note. The CDLMED email address is for sending required forms for processing. For questions on CDL self-certification or forms, contact our customer service center at 360-902-3900. 1.4.4.A. Intrastate Medical Waiver. Washington intrastate medical waivers are issued only to Washington State CLP or CDL holders. Some employers require drivers to have a medical waiver for operating company vehicles that do not require a CDL. However, medical waivers cannot be issued to non-commercial drivers. If you are a licensed CLP or CDL holder and don't meet the federal medical standards for interstate commerce, you can apply to DOL for an intrastate medical waiver. This waiver is valid for operation of intrastate commerce only. Valid for no more than a 2-year cycle. If you need an intrastate waiver, complete a medical waiver application available at any driver licensing office or online at www.dahl.wa.gov. Return the following forms. CDL Intrastate Medical Waiver Application. Medical Examiner's Certificate. Medical Examination Report for Commercial Driver Fitness Determination. Forms must be fully and correctly completed. Medical forms must be completed by authorized medical examiners who are listed on the National Medical Registry. Waivers are processed within 7 to 10 working days and mailed to the address of record. The waiver may be photocopied and must be carried with your CDL at all times when you are operating a commercial vehicle. After obtaining an intrastate waiver, you must get a new license that contains the V medical variants restriction. If you have self-certified as non-accepted interstate, you must change your certification to operate the type of commerce allowed with an intrastate waiver. Some employers may not accept an intrastate medical waiver. If your medical condition improves so you meet the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, FMCSA, standards, you may submit a new medical examiner's certificate to be removed from the CDL Medical Waiver Program. CDL Medical Unit. Department of Licensing. P.O. Box 9030. Olympia WA 98507-9030. Fax 360-570-4915. Email cdlmed@dal.wa.gov. Upload at https://www.dal.wa.gov/driverslicense/cdlmedicalcertificates.html. Note: the CDLMED email address is for sending required forms for processing. For questions on CDL self-certification or forms, contact our customer service center at 360-902-3900. 1.4.4.b. Interstate Medical Waiver. An interstate medical waiver is valid in all states. Interstate medical waivers are processed by FMCSA medical programs in the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. To apply, and for information, contact FMCSA at 703-448-3094. Online at www.fmcsa.gov. Click on the link for medical programs. Once you have received a federal waiver, your drive record will be updated and you must come into a CDL licensing office and get a new CDL with the V medical variance restriction. Check your self-certification to verify if you need to change how you are currently certified. 1.5 CDL disqualifications. General. You may not drive a commercial motor vehicle if you are disqualified for any reason. 1.5.1. Alcohol, leaving the scene of an accident, and commission of a felony. It is illegal to operate a CMV if your blood alcohol concentration, BAC, is 0.04% or more. If you operate a CMV, you shall be deemed to have given your consent to alcohol testing. You will lose your CDL for at least 1 year for a first offense for driving a CMV if your blood alcohol concentration is 0.04% or higher. Driving a CMV under the influence of alcohol. Refusing to undergo blood alcohol testing. Driving a CMV while under the influence of a controlled substance. Leaving the scene of an accident involving a CMV. Committing a felony involving the use of a CMV. Driving a CMV when the CDL is suspended. Causing a fatality through negligent operation of a CMV. You will lose your CDL for at least 3 years if the offense occurs while you are operating a CMV that is placarded for hazardous materials. You will lose your CDL for life for a second offense. You will lose your CDL for life if you use a CMV to commit a felony involving controlled substances. You will be put out of service for 24 hours if you have any detectable amount of alcohol under 0.04%. 1.5.2. Serious traffic violations. If convicted or if you are found to have committed two serious traffic violations within 3 years while operating either your personal vehicle or a commercial vehicle, you may lose your license for 60 days. A third conviction within 3 years results in a 120-day disqualification. Serious traffic violations include excessive speed 15 miles per hour over posted limit, reckless driving, negligent driving, texting while driving, using a handheld mobile phone while driving, improper lane changes, driving a CMV without earning a CDL, driving a CMV without a CDL in your immediate possession, driving a CMV without the proper class or endorsement for the type of vehicle being operated, following too closely, violating a state or local law relating to motor vehicle traffic control, other than a parking violation arising in connection with an accident or collision resulting in the death of any person. 1.5.3. Violation of out-of-service orders. You will lose your CDL for at least 90 days if you have committed your first violation of an out-of-service order. For at least 1 year if you have committed two violations of an out-of-service order in a 10-year period. For at least 3 years if you have committed three or more violations of an out-of-service order in a 10-year period. 1.5.4. Railroad Highway Grade Crossing Violations. You will lose your CDL. 1. For at least 60 days for your first violation. 2. For at least 120 days for your second violation within a 3-year period. 3. For at least 1 year for your third violation within a 3-year period. These violations include violation of a federal, state or local law or regulation pertaining to one of the following 6 offenses at a railroad highway grade crossing. For drivers who are not required to always stop, failing to stop before reaching the crossing if the tracks are not clear. For drivers who are not required to always stop, failing to slow down and check that the tracks are clear of an approaching train. For drivers who are always required to stop, failing to stop before driving onto the crossing. For all drivers failing to have sufficient space to drive completely through the crossing without stopping. For all drivers failing to obey a traffic control device or the directions of an enforcement official at the crossing. For all drivers failing to negotiate a crossing because of insufficient undercarriage clearance. 1.6 Hazardous Material Endorsement. 1.6.1 Hazardous Materials Endorsement, HME, Background Check and Disqualifications. If you require a hazardous materials endorsement, you will be required to submit your fingerprints and be subject to a Transportation Security Administration, TSA, background check. You must pass the Hazardous Material Knowledge Test prior to adding, transferring or renewing a HME endorsement. HME endorsements are valid for 5 years. Your Washington CDL cannot expire later than the TSA HME clearance expiration. You should start the background check process at least 90 days prior to your existing expiration or before the endorsement is needed. You will be denied or you will lose your hazardous materials endorsement if you are not a lawful permanent resident of the United States, renounce your United States citizenship, are wanted or under indictment for certain felonies, have a conviction in military or civilian court for certain felonies, have been adjudicated as a mental defective or committed to a mental institution, are considered to pose a security threat as determined by the Transportation Security Administration. For more detail instructions and information, visit DOL.WA.GOV. 1.7 Traffic Violations. 1.7.1 Traffic Violations in Your Personal Vehicle. The Motor Carrier Safety Improvement Act, MCSIA, of 1999 requires a CDL holder to be disqualified from operating a commercial motor vehicle if the CDL holder has been convicted of certain types of moving violations in their personal vehicle. If your privilege to operate your personal vehicle is revoked, canceled, or suspended due to violations of traffic control laws, other than parking violations, you will also lose your CDL driving privileges. If your privilege to operate your personal vehicle is revoked, canceled, or suspended due to alcohol, controlled substance, or felony violations, you will lose your CDL for 1 year. If you are convicted of a second violation in your personal vehicle or CMV, you will lose your CDL for life. If your license to operate your personal vehicle is revoked, canceled, or suspended, you may not obtain a hardship license to operate a CMV. 1.8 Other CDL Rules. 1.8.1 There are other federal and state rules that affect drivers operating CMVs in all states. Among them are: you cannot have more than one license. If you break this rule, a court may fine you up to $5,000 or put you in jail and keep your home state license and return any others. You must notify your employer within 30 days of conviction for any traffic violations, except parking. This is true no matter what type of vehicle you were driving. You must notify your motor vehicle licensing agency within 30 days if you are convicted in any other jurisdiction of any traffic violation, except parking. This is true no matter what type of vehicle you were driving. You must notify your employer within 2 business days if your license is suspended, revoked, or canceled, or if you are disqualified from driving. You must give your employer information on all driving jobs you have held for the past 10 years. You must do this when you apply for a commercial driving job. 1.8.2. No one can drive a commercial motor vehicle without a CDL. A court may fine you up to $5,000 or put you in jail for breaking this rule. 1.8.3. If you have a hazardous materials endorsement, you must notify and surrender your hazardous materials endorsement to the state that issued your CDL within 24 hours of any conviction or indictment in any jurisdiction, civilian or military, for are found not guilty by reason of insanity of a disqualifying crime listed in 49 CFR 1572.103, who is adjudicated as a mental defective or committed to a mental institution as specified in 49 CFR 1572.109, or who renounces his or her U.S. citizenship. 1.8.4. Your employer may not let you drive a commercial motor vehicle if you have more than one license or if your CDL is suspended or revoked. A court may fine the employer up to $5,000 or put him, her in jail for breaking this rule. 1.8.5. All states are connected to one computerized system to share information about CDL drivers. The states will check on drivers' accident records to be sure that drivers do not have more than one CDL. 1.8.6. You are not allowed to hold a mobile telephone to conduct a voice communication or dial a mobile telephone by pressing more than a single button when driving. 1.8.7. You are not allowed to send or read text messages while driving. 1.8.8. You must be properly restrained by a safety belt at all times while operating a commercial motor vehicle. The safety belt design holds the driver securely behind the wheel during a crash, helping the driver to control the vehicle and reduces the chance of serious injury or death. If you do not wear a safety belt, you are 4 times more likely to be fatally injured if you are thrown from the vehicle. Each state may have additional rules that you must also obey. 1.9 International Registration Plan, International Fuel Tax Agreement. 1.9.1 If you operate a CDL required vehicle in interstate commerce, the vehicle, with few exceptions, is required to be registered under the International Registration Plan, IRP, and the International Fuel Tax Agreement, IFTA. These federally mandated programs provide for the equitable collection and distribution of vehicle license fees and motor fuels taxes for vehicles traveling throughout the 48 contiguous United States and 10 Canadian provinces. Under the IRP, jurisdictions must register apportioned vehicles, which includes issuing license plates and cab cards or proper credentials, calculate, collect and distribute IRP fees, audit carriers for accuracy of reported distance and fees, and enforce IRP requirements. Registrant responsibilities under the plan include applying for IRP registration with base jurisdiction, providing proper documentation for registration, paying appropriate IRP registration fees, properly displaying registration credentials, maintaining accurate distance records, and making records available for jurisdiction review. The basic concept behind IFTA is to allow a licensee, motor carrier, to license in a base jurisdiction for the reporting and payment of motor fuel use taxes. Under the IFTA, a licensee is issued one set of credentials which will authorize operations through all IFTA member jurisdictions. The fuel use taxes collected pursuant to the IFTA are calculated based on the number of miles, kilometers, traveled and the number of gallons, liters, consumed in the member jurisdictions. The licensee files one quarterly tax return with the base jurisdiction by which the licensee will report all operations through all IFTA member jurisdictions. It is the base jurisdiction's responsibility to remit the taxes collected to other member jurisdictions and to represent the other member jurisdictions in the tax collection process, including the performance of audits. An IFTA licensee must retain records to support the information reported on the IFTA quarterly tax return. The IRP registrant and the IFTA licensee may be the vehicle owner or the vehicle operator. The requirement for acquiring IRP plates for a vehicle and IFTA license for a motor carrier is determined by the definitions from the IRP plan and the IFTA for qualified vehicle and qualified motor vehicle. 1.9.2 For purposes of IRP, a qualified vehicle is, except as provided below, any power unit that is used or intended for use in two or more member jurisdictions and that is used for the transportation of persons for hire or designed, used, are maintained primarily for the transportation of property, and has two axles and a gross vehicle weight or registered gross vehicle weight in excess of 26,000 pounds, 11,793.401 kilograms, or has three or more axles, regardless of weight, or as used in combination, when the gross vehicle weight of such combination exceeds 26,000 pounds, 11,793.401 kilograms. While similar, the qualified motor vehicle in IFTA means a motor vehicle used, designed, or maintained for transportation of persons or property and having two axles and a gross vehicle weight or registered gross vehicle weight exceeding 26,000 pounds or 11,797 kilograms, or is used in combination, when the weight of such combination exceeds 26,000 pounds or 11,797 kilograms gross vehicle or registered gross vehicle weight. Qualified motor vehicle does not include recreational vehicles. If the vehicle you operate is registered under IRP and you are a motor carrier licensed under IFTA, then you are required to comply with the mandatory record-keeping requirements for operating the vehicle. A universally accepted method of capturing this information is through the completion of an individual vehicle distance record, IVDR, sometimes referred to as a driver trip report. This document reflects the distance traveled and fuel purchased for a vehicle that operates interstate under apportioned IRP, registration and IFTA fuel tax credentials. Although the actual format of the IVDR may vary, the information that is required for proper record keeping does not. In order to satisfy the requirements for individual vehicle distance records, these documents must include the following information. 1.9-3. Distance. Per Article IV of the IRP plan. I. Date of trip, starting and ending. E. Trip origin and destination, city and state or province. E. Route of travel. IV. Beginning and ending odometer or hubometer reading of the trip. V. Total distance traveled. V. In jurisdiction distance. V. Power unit number or vehicle identification number. 1.9-4. Fuel. Per Section P560 of the IFTA Procedures Manual. 0.300 An acceptable receipt or invoice must include, but shall not be limited to, the following. 0.005 Date of purchase. 0.010 Seller's name and address. 0.015 Number of gallons or liters purchased. 0.020 Fuel type. 0.025 Price per gallon or liter or total amount of sale. 0.030 Unit number or other unique vehicle identifier. 0.035 Purchaser's name. Each individual IVDR should be filled out for only one vehicle. The rules to follow when trying to determine how and when to log an odometer reading are the following. At the beginning of the day. When leaving the state or province. At the end of the trip per day. Not only do the trips need to be logged, but the fuel purchases need to be documented as well. You must obtain a receipt for all fueling and include it with your completed IVDR. Make sure that any trips that you enter are always filled out in descending order and that your trips include all state provinces that you traveled through on your route. There are different routes that a driver may take, and most of the miles may be within one state or province. Whether or not the distance you travel is primarily in one jurisdiction or spread among several jurisdictions, all information for the trip must be recorded. This includes the dates, the routes, odometer readings, and fuel purchases. By completing this document in full and keeping all records required by both the IRP and the IFTA, you will have ensured that you and your company are in compliance with all state and provincial laws surrounding fuel and distance record-keeping requirements. The IVDR serves as the source document for the calculation of fees and taxes that are payable to the jurisdictions in which the vehicle is operated, so these original records must be maintained for a minimum of 4 years. In addition, these records are subject to audit by the taxing jurisdictions. Failure to maintain complete and accurate records could result in fines, penalties. The above limitations do not apply to, and suspension or revocation of IRP registrations vehicles transporting poles, pipes, and machinery. And IFTA licenses. For additional information on the IRP and the requirements related to the IRP, visit www.dal.wa.gov or IRP, Inc. The official repository for the IRP. Additional information can be found on the IRP, INC website at www.irponline.org. There is a training video on the website homepage available in English, Spanish and French. For additional information on IFTA and the requirements related to IFTA, visit www.dal.wa.gov. You will also find useful information about the agreement at the official repository of IFTA at http://www.iftac.org/index.php. 1.10 Washington State Laws and Rules. All commercial drivers are required to know the state laws limiting the size and weight of vehicles and loads. You must stop at open weigh stations for weighing and inspection. Washington State Patrol, WSP, troopers, commercial vehicle enforcement officers, CVEO, and local law enforcement officers all have the authority to stop drivers on the road to conduct inspections. Violations for being oversized or overweight, for operating defective equipment, or for lacking the proper licenses and permits can result in citations and fines. If you ignore open weigh stations, you may be cited and fined. 1.10.1. Length. Maximum legal length. For school buses and other single motor vehicles, except certain municipal transport buses, is 40 feet. For auto stages is 46 feet and includes front and rear bumpers. For a single vehicle or trailer in a combination, with or without load, is 53 feet. For double trailer combinations can't exceed a total of 61 feet for the combined length of the trailers. For truck and trailer combinations or log truck and stinger steered pole trailers, with or without load, cannot exceed an overall length of 75 feet. The above limitations do not apply to vehicles transporting poles, pipes, and machinery. Vehicles transporting structural objects that cannot be taken apart. Vehicles operated by a public utility when making emergency repairs of public services or properties. Loads may not extend more than 15 feet behind the center of the last axle or more than 3 feet beyond the front bumper. Any load extending beyond the sides or more than 4 feet beyond the rear of the vehicle must have the extending portion marked with either 12-inch red flags or with red lights. If visibility is poor, red lamps and reflectors are required. When you haul objects such as poles or logs, you must place a red light at the most extended point of the load. This light must be a combination light visible from the back and both sides. 1.10.2. Load Securement. Drivers operating any type of vehicle transporting a load on public highways must securely fasten the load in the load's cover from becoming loose, detached, or a hazard to other drivers. Vehicles loaded with dirt, sand, or gravel which does not maintain at least 6 inches of freeboard must have a secured cover. For uncovered loads, the 6 inches of freeboard shall be maintained after the load has settled. Any vehicle with deposits of mud, rock, or other debris on the vehicle's body, fenders, frame, undercarriage, wheels, or tires shall be cleaned of debris before driving on a paved public highway. Proper equipment should be carried in the truck for cleaning purposes. 1.10.3. Width. No vehicle, with or without its load, may be more than 8.5 foot minus 102 inches wide. Rearview mirrors may extend to no more than 5 inches beyond the extreme limits of the body. All other equipment, including all safety equipment and parts such as door handles, door hinges, mud flaps, fender extensions, and turn signal brackets may reach no more than 3 inches beyond the extreme limits of the body. 1.10.4. Height. No vehicle, including its load, may be more than 14 feet high. This limit does not apply to emergency vehicles or utility repair equipment. Even though you know the height of your vehicle or load, always make sure there is enough clearance, especially when driving in unfamiliar areas or in bad weather. When you are approaching a tunnel or an overpass on a new route, and there is no clearance sign visible, safely pull off the road and check the clearance height. Ice, snow, or road repairs may reduce a clearance that is normally enough to pass beneath. 1.10.5. Weight. The allowable gross weight of a bus or truck depends on tire size, the number of axles, and the spacing of axles, or axle groups. No vehicle may operate on public highways with a gross weight including load that is more than 600 pounds per inch of tire width concentrated on one tire. For example, a tire size 10.00-22 is 10 inches wide and may carry 6,000 pounds. Axles carrying more than 10,000 pounds and equipped with single tires are limited to 500 pounds per inch of tire width. For exemptions, contact WSP Commercial Vehicle Enforcement. Maximum weights for commercial vehicles in Washington are 20,000 pounds on any single axle, depending on tire size. 34,000 pounds on tandem axles spaced less than 7 feet apart. 40,000 pounds for any single unit vehicle supported by 3 or more axles. 80,000 pounds for any combination of vehicles. 1.10.6 Permits. The Department of Transportation may approve and issue permits to allow oversized and overweight vehicles other than school buses to operate on state highways. Contact the proper county or city official for oversized and overweight permits on county roads or city streets. To get a special permit, you must show that the only practical means of transporting certain cargo is by motor vehicle. The vehicle and load are properly licensed. The load cannot reasonably be taken apart. Before a permit is issued, the application will be reviewed to assess any possible disruption to traffic flows, threat to public safety, damage to the highway system. If the application is approved, you will need to pay a fee based on the length of the permit period and, for overweight vehicles, the amount of weight that is over the legal maximum. For information on special permits, you may request the publication Overweight, Oversize Vehicle Permits, from any Washington State Department of Transportation office or write to Permit Office, Maintenance and Operations Group, Transportation Building, Olympia WA 98504. 1.10.7 Tire Chains. All vehicles or combinations of vehicles must carry enough tire chains while operating in any mountain pass or in any chain, approved traction device control area designated by either the Washington State Department of Transportation or the Washington State Patrol. Chains must be carried on all vehicles over 10,000 pounds, GVWR, from November 1 to April 1 of each year or at other times when chains are required for such vehicles. 1.10.8 Speed Limits. Unless otherwise posted, the maximum allowable speed for trucks and buses is 60 miles per hour on interstate and Washington state highways, 70 miles per hour for auto stages, 50 miles per hour on county roads, 25 miles per hour on city and town streets. Posted signs showing lower limits must be obeyed. 1.10.9 Right Lane Rule. When you are driving a heavy vehicle or combination, travel in the right lane except when preparing to turn left or when passing another vehicle. 1.10.10 Left Lane Rule. No vehicle or combination over 10,000 pounds may be driven in the left-hand lane of a limited-access roadway having three or more lanes for traffic moving in one direction except when preparing for a left turn at an intersection, exit, or onto a private road or driveway when a left turn is legally allowed. 1.10.11 Slow Vehicle Rule. If you are driving a slow-moving vehicle on a two-lane highway and five or more vehicles behind you are delayed and unable to pass, you must pull off the roadway at the first safe and available turnout. A turnout may be an extended shoulder where you can keep your present speed, or a small area off the roadway where you can stop before returning to the roadway. Don't try to pass more than one vehicle at a time when you are driving on a two-lane highway. When you are traveling with another truck or bus in a convoy, leave enough space between vehicles in the convoy for others to pull back into the lane safely. 1.10.12 Hours of Service. All commercial drivers of private or common carriers within the state of Washington and all interstate commercial drivers must obey laws and regulations governing maximum driving and on-duty time. Hours of service rules for property-carrying drivers are: you may drive a maximum of 11 hours after 10 consecutive hours off-duty. You cannot drive beyond the 14th hour after coming on-duty, following 10 consecutive hours off-duty. You must not drive after 60 hours on duty in 7 consecutive days. You must not drive after 70 hours on duty in 8 consecutive days. A driver may restart a 7 or 8 consecutive day period after taking 34 or more consecutive hours off duty. Commercial drivers using the sleeper berth provision must take at least 7 consecutive hours in the sleeper berth, plus 3 consecutive hours either in the sleeper berth, off duty, or in any combination of both. Hours of service rules for passenger carrying drivers are: you must not drive more than 10 hours following 8 consecutive hours off duty. You must not drive for any period after having been on duty for 15 hours following 8 consecutive hours off duty. You must not drive after having been on duty 60 hours in any 7 consecutive days. You must not drive after having been on duty 70 hours in any 8 consecutive days. 30-minute break. Requires a 30-minute break only when a driver has driven for a period of 8 hours without at least a 30-minute interruption. If required, the break may be satisfied by any non-driving period of 30 minutes, for example, on duty, off duty, or sleeper berth time. It is your responsibility to record in duplicate every 24-hour period of duty status in a driver's logbook. Keep a copy of each record of duty status for the previous 7 consecutive days. This record must be in your possession and must be available for inspection while on duty. Logbooks are subject to inspection by law enforcement officials. If you have questions about hours of service, contact Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, 360-753-9875. www.fmcsa.gov. Click on the link for hours of service. 1.10.13. Accident reporting. If your vehicle is involved in a collision, stop immediately. If anyone is hurt and needs or requests aid, help them. Exchange information with everyone involved in the collision. If the collision caused injury to anyone or if the damage amounts to $1,000 or more, file a state vehicle collision report within 4 days with the municipal police, the local sheriff, or the Washington State Patrol.